Jazz at 20 Minutes or Less Podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Friday, December 15th, 2017. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
And you're going to Seattle tomorrow, aren't you?
I am.
You are going with one of our clients, the Pig and Duke, a bar here in town?
Yep.
They're taking a bunch of winners out to see the Seahawks and the Lions, is that correct?
Rams.
The Rams.
Yeah, it's going to be a little crazy. I hope I come back alive, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, the crew that's going are pretty heavy drinkers.
The biggest drinkers I have ever met in my life. Like, people who, it's concerning. Like, I'm trying to brace myself. I've been in, like, training to be able to handle this, so we'll see how it goes.
And you're not a lightweight.
No.
So for you to say that it's going to be tough to keep up to them is, that means something.
Like, we land at 8:30 a.m. tomorrow. Like, we fly out here at, like, 7. And at 8:30, I guarantee you somebody is going to be trying to force shots at everybody. So it's gonna be something.
Pace yourselves. Is the game on Sunday?
Sunday.
Obviously, it's an NFL game.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, enjoy yourself. And then you're off
Monday?
Monday, and you're back Tuesday?
Back Tuesday.
Cool.
Tuesday. So there was a meteor shower. Did you see that?
I saw photos of it, yeah.
And I didn't even know. How did I not realize that that was even coming up? It came and went. No idea it was going on. I was like, I feel like an idiot right now.
They happen quite frequently. The photos I saw weren't from here. They were from in the States, but
interesting.
It's visible in lots of different places.
I get mad because I haven't yet taken the chance to go and see a meteor shower out in Banff or even see the Northern Lights out in Banff. And I feel like if you caught it at the right time, it would be amazing out there.
Yeah, if you were in the right spot, if it was dark enough where you were,
yeah.
It'd be darker than it is in the city, obviously. You can barely see any lights at all or stars at all in the city.
I live right downtown. There's no chance of me seeing anything, like not even regular stars for the most part.
Like three stars you can see.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, there they are. There. That's it.
Have you heard of the Jasper Dark Sky Festival?
No.
Because Jasper is a designated dark sky preserve.
Right.
And because they have such little light pollution up there. So every October, I think, they have a festival where they have a bunch of like astronomers come in and they set up telescopes. And I think there's other events too, but basically, yeah, it's just a weekend for people who are into that sort of thing. And I think it'd be so much fun to go.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
I'm kind of deprived of all of that because I grew up right outside of Toronto and there's just tons of light pollution around there.
Oh, yeah.
And I've only seen the Northern Lights twice and neither time were they very pronounced at all. Mm-hmm. And it was, yeah, just I happened to look up in Edmonton once. I was like, oh my God, is that the Northern Lights?
Yeah, in Edmonton you can see them on occasion, but it's not, I don't think it's anywhere comparable to like if you would go way up north.
No. Right? So I feel like I'm doing myself a disservice by living here and being close at least to, I know Banff still has some lights, but there's places out there I'm sure that would be amazing to see that kind of thing. I haven't done it yet. Stupid.
Yeah, and like I grew up in Saskatoon, which still has a lot of light pollution, but we're not far from places where you can see the stars quite well. But I remember the first time when I really, really saw the stars where you could see the band of the Milky Way and everything. And it's like, it doesn't even look real. It's like nothing you've seen before. It was on my ex-girlfriend's family's farm out in the middle of nowhere. And
oh, yeah.
Looked up and it was like, oh, I didn't even know there were that many stars.
God's country.
Out in God's country.
Yeah. Yeah. This is kind of cool, though, because the Banff Gondola is staying open later every Friday, starting from now until, I guess, January 9th, I think it is. And it's so people can actually go up because it's dark. So they're extending it to 8. So they're like, you can now go up the Banff Gondola and take a look at the stars from up there.
That would be amazing.
So that I'm like, I need that. Yes. This needs to happen.
Wow, that's a great date night idea, huh?
Oh, romance.
God's country.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
It's the most important part of the entire week on this program.
It is.
It's the Friday morning pizza chat.
Pizza baby, slip a slice right under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl.
Festive.
Pizza baby, drop a pizza down the chimney tonight.
Oh, that is magnificent.
Where do you find these?
It's just the best. It's these guys whose life's work, they've devoted their life to throwing pizza into any possible song they can. So,
what are we talking about today?
Well, I was wondering, okay, because Christmas is coming up. Is there any occasion that pizza is not appropriate? Is there any event that pizza would not be something that you would eat? It's not the time or place.
I'm going to say no, because like we had pizza at our wedding. And I don't mean as a midnight lunch, as the meal. Lots of people order it at midnight as just a drunk snack. No, this is what you're getting.
I was so happy with this. And it was all Domino's. How many pizzas did you order in? Like 40?
Hundreds.
Hundreds?
Yeah.
Okay, and it just showed up in Domino's pizza boxes, and I was like, this is awesome. Like, yeah, I want a piece of all of this.
It was good. It was cheap, too. It was excellent. It was way cheaper than a regular wedding meal, and people were pumped.
You're right. This is a bad question to ask you. Why did I ask?
I often have pizza at Christmas because my mom, like, rather than cooking a turkey, she says you guys can get whatever you want. So I always get pizza. So pizza is my traditional Christmas meal. I had pizza delivered to Brigham's birth. When Brigham was born at South Health Campus, Panago came right up the elevator. We clapped him in. I wanted the room to smell like pizza. I wanted Brigham to know that this world is beautiful when he was born.
Brigham just came out. He's like, it smells great in here.
It's pizza, my son.
Oh, yes.
So yeah, those are like all the big events in life. What am I missing?
The first thing he sees is not his mother, it's pizza. He falls in love with pizza. The only thing you're missing is funeral.
Yeah, I haven't died yet. So,
I mean, and anyone else's. I don't know if it's necessarily appropriate to order a pizza into the funeral. Although, you know what? A lot of people would probably be very appreciative.
Yeah, as opposed to like the squares and cheese and stuff they usually have at funerals.
It's true. Well, although those weird funeral sandwiches are the most delicious tasting sandwiches ever. We've talked about this before. Okay.
Here comes Pizza Claus, here comes Pizza Claus, right down Pizza Claus Lane. He's got pies and some surprises for the kids again.
X92.9.
Yesterday, the FCC in the United States voted 3-2 to repeal the net neutrality regulations that were put in place in 2015.
Yeah, so the net neutrality regulations used to basically prohibit internet service providers from blocking websites or charging for higher quality service or charging for certain sites. It was basically free and unlimited.
Right. Now, if you have a site on the internet, it's as accessible as every other site.
Exactly.
There's no fast lanes. There's no throttling of speed.
Nope.
There's no paying more to get your website accessed more quickly.
No. And now with this all changing, it means that all of this is... It's free game. It means that your internet service provider can now choose what you can and can't see. They can block certain sites if they want. They can actually charge you if you want to access things like Facebook or Twitter. I saw this interesting graphic from Portugal where they don't have net neutrality. And it says, like, for all your social sites, it's $4.99 a month. For any, like, YouTube, Netflix, $4.99 a month. On top of that, to get your email, it's another $4.99 a month.
This is on top of what you already pay for your internet service and what you already pay to a subscription site like Netflix. Then you pay extra for...
Yeah, like a cable package, right?
Right.
You know how you have certain levels of cable packages? They break this down and now they're doing that with the internet to make more money, right? So if you want to go on social media, you now have to get a certain package on top. So it's a little frightening.
I would say so. Yeah, it's kind of almost like a freedom of speech argument, right? Because if something goes on the internet, it should be accessible to everybody who has the internet.
Well, that's where we get information now. So it's terrifying to think, because if you think about it, if we wanted to go back to just getting our information from books, I don't even think books are updated enough yet. Like, it's not like you can go back to the library and go to the encyclopedia anymore. This is where we get our information.
The problem is that the internet at this point is basically a human right. You almost need access to the internet in today's world to function properly.
Yeah.
And I understand that it still costs money to get the internet provided to you, but we need to start looking at it like that. Like, this is something that we need.
Well, a lot of news sites, a lot of people get our news from the internet now. And now you're telling me you can weight certain news that perhaps is biased a certain way or not. Not that they will, but this is something that could happen, right?
They totally could, yeah.
You could block information entirely so you don't exactly know what's even happening in the news.
And I'm generally in favor of the market deciding how things should be, the free market. But there are some things that I think do need regulation, and this is definitely one of them. Everybody has a horror story from dealing with their internet service provider. Are those really the companies that you want to leave in charge of what you can and can't see on the internet?
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Nope. No.
I mean, there's still plans to fight this pretty hard. It doesn't take effect for, is it 8 weeks?
It's 8 weeks. So I feel like there's some obviously more obstacles. People are contacting now around over the world trying to like write letters and things to get this fixed. So we'll see.
And in Canada, we're still good.
We're still good for now. Yeah. And everybody's making sure of this. But again, a lot of these sites that you go to are American sites. Mm-hmm. So that's going to affect.
And 20 minutes or less podcast.
I'm a university student, right? And so you utilize the the internet all the time, and there's pretty strict guidelines as to what you can use and what is determined as real information, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for like younger students, like I have a 12-year-old daughter, for example, she can really just cite whatever she wants. So I guess what my concern would be is that we live in an area or an age and time where we have so much false media and false news coming out, and it's really politically aligned with right and left.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be concerned that some of that information, if people had money and a certain political agenda, might be a little bit more promoted, and we might face even more false information.
Well,
you
and that's
what I mean?
That's the biggest concern, and I kind of touched on that too. That's the fear, right? The fear is that your internet service provider, for example, could perhaps be in bed with a certain political party.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, we're only going to show you articles from Fox or only from CNN, and we're just going to steer you in this direction, right?
Which already has...
Or even in Canada, CBC, like I've heard Beckler say before, you know, they don't always have the most balanced approach.
Yeah,
right.
And it's true, right? Yep.
Right, so it's important that you be able to get any kind of information you want, and you still have to like pick through the bias and stuff, but at least your internet isn't like guiding you in one direction, right?
Exactly. And the universality of the internet, like my daughter would have no idea how to go to a library and look up a topic.
I know.
Like she literally would know, she doesn't even know that people would do that.
Well, and that's,
you know,
I honestly don't even think you could get the correct information in a library anymore because things change so quickly.
No.
They're not going to have up-to-date information, at least. You can probably find some dated stuff. But, like, do they even put out encyclopedias still? Like, are those still actively in things like libraries?
I don't know. I've only seen them on the internet.
I know. Like, I don't even know if they are, right? Like, yeah, you see.
I just know that a lot, like, in my university textbooks, a lot of the stats that they use are dated to 2005 or 2010. And we can all agree that life in 2010 versus life in 2017 politically is very different.
Well, a very important part of education going forward is going to be how to surf through and find the correct information. And
or at
how,
least identify biases.
That's
and,
it.
Yeah.
Like, and that's, I mean, I took a lot of media courses because I went to school for media. And we discussed all of that. In fact, we discussed net neutrality at length before it was even like it is now. And that's why when I saw this come out, I was like, oh my God, we had entire courses talking about how terrible this would be. And here we are.
And it's here. Yeah, it's a huge blow to our freedom of information, for sure.
Yeah. God, this world, what the freaking hell has happened?
I mean, it's still only in the U.S. right now. And all we can do right now is basically, like, I know a lot of people are actually, like, writing their MLAs and stuff. And just because there's ways you can communicate that we here in Canada certainly do not want this.
Yeah, don't pull this shit here.
So like, that's kind of what we can do right now. And then just hope that this gets shot down in the States before it actually officially goes through. So,
well, nothing is actually happening politically in the States because it's such a disaster. Everybody's just fighting with each other. So hopefully that won't happen. But as millennials, you know, it's going to be our responsibility to, you know, to actively talk to our politicians and not just be bystanders.
We've done the world a big favor this Christmas.
Yes.
We've rewritten some of the most problematic lyrics, some of the most politically incorrect lyrics to your holiday favorites.
Yes, to get you not, you know, out of trouble. So people aren't offended by the carols that you're singing or you're playing in your house for Christmas or holidays.
And today's is one of those that you probably never considered could offend people. But it can, because everything can.
Mm-hmm.
So we fixed that for you.
Holiday carols for 2017.
Come, they told me, ba-ra-ba-bum-bum.
Has anyone ever asked the little drummer boy how he identifies? Are we sure boy is the correct gender? Maybe it should be little drummer person.
That makes more sense.
I am a poor boy to
poor is not something that we use these days. It should be low income. A low income boy. Okay?
I have no gifts to bring. Ba-ra-ba-bum-bum.
Because our society places so much value on material goods. Capitalism is the devil.
That's fit to give a gift.
There's only one type of presence we accept here. It's your presence.
Rub-a-bum-bum! Rub-a-bum-bum!
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
Once marijuana becomes legal, pot dealers are going to be out of work. And
yeah,
fast.
We've kind of joked about that in the past.
And I was thinking, I was like, how does one update a resume if you've been in an illegal line of work for that long?
Like, yeah, that's a good point. There's a big gap here between 2013 and 2017. What were you doing?
Right.
How are you paying rent?
Yeah. We're good with words, though, and I was thinking maybe we could help with this. There's ways you could word things, I suppose, on a resume and spin it a little bit. Entrepreneur being the big word here. I'm an entrepreneur. That really leaves things pretty open-ended, right?
Yeah, handling and packaging products.
Yep. Working unusual hours for a wide array of clients.
Yeah, and maintaining a good relationship with those clients.
Yes, which is huge. In fact, you actually have a lot of skills. You have some things in your tool belt that a lot of people wouldn't, because you do have to deal with strange people who perhaps have odd demands and you have to keep them happy.
Yeah, product knowledge.
Yeah.
Discretion. Company discretion is a big one.
Yes.
I don't talk about work.
Actually, this resume sounds better than mine. I read an article, though, and it was a resume writer, and he actually was talking about how he has dealt with this type of thing before. And he said, yeah, like, they do have a lot of skills. You do just have to mask them a little bit. And he says sometimes he would take somebody and act as if they were like an antique dealer, because he says they have a lot of similarities in that way, in the way they have odd hours and collect things. And
you're not dealing Pat.
No.
You're dealing antiques.
Antiques. And then you could just make up your references and stuff with that as well. But I was like, that... Yeah, you'd have to mask things quite a bit. Like, you'd have to... Like, good with scales? I mean, you could throw that in there as well. I don't know. Can count change?
Can count small change.
Dimes and quarters, especially.
Yeah, available at all hours.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. No, this is actually sounding pretty good now that I think about it. So, I guess it's not as difficult as it could be. But
And I guess, you know, for a lot of drug dealers, you kind of have an unpredictable supply line.
Yeah.
Right. You don't necessarily know when you're going to have your next shipment of product.
It's true.
So you got to keep your clients happy in the meantime, which could be a very difficult thing.
You almost wonder if eventually they'll just let you admit to it, because there are some skills that are involved in this that people would be like, actually, we need this skill. I know it was technically illegal at the time, but we need this now. So
yeah, and it's not like we're going to charge people retroactively for that. Are we?
No.
I mean, if you were just selling drugs, there's no other...
No.
There's no weapons or violence or anything like that, then...
Yeah, it's legal now. It's not even a crime anymore. It's just like, oh, well, you did it when it was illegal, but now it's legal, so you're good.
I knew a guy in Australia who was a drug dealer, and he just... I asked him when I first met him, I was like, so what do you do for work? And he's like, I'm a drug dealer. I was like, oh, okay, well, thanks.
What do you,
thanks for your honesty.
I'm an accountant. What do you do? Drug dealer.
Drug dealer. Oh, yeah. Okay, here's my card.
X92.9.
Hey, hey, what did you learn today?
Gas prices seem to have been jumping all over the place lately.
Yeah, it's really weird. Yesterday when I drove into work, gas prices were like 98. And then when I drove home from work, it was 108. And then this morning, it was 96. And I was like, how is it jumping by 10 cents like this nonstop?
And some of these gas stations have been accused of adjusting their prices with traffic, basically, with the rush hour.
Well, that's what people are thinking. They're going, well, wait, is this because, yeah, when people are trying to get away, or maybe when they're driving home from work, you're upping the prices, knowing more people are filling up? What's going on here?
I just wanted to share a little bit of insight I had on it.
Please, yes.
All right, so I used to work at the gas station about 4 or 5 years ago, and at that point, we had to check around with our competitors just in the morning, once per day. Right?
Okay.
So you check around, and then you set your gas prices from there. And I know now my girlfriend works as an assistant manager at the same store, and they now have to check 4 times a day with all the competitors around them and then set their prices from there. So I don't know where the original order comes from.
Right.
But I know that all the other stations, or all the other gas stations now follow. Like 4 times a day they're checking. So.
Wow.
So will they... match the prices that their competitors are at, or will they try to beat it?
Usually match.
Okay.
That's what the order was, basically. So like I said, I don't know where the original order comes down from, because we never got one from head office saying, like, oh, raise your prices to this or that. So I don't know who sets off the chain reaction, but I know that's why gas prices are going up and down all the time now, because they're Yeah, or stupid.
So some drunk ass at one of the gas stations is just like frigging with the prices for shits and giggles. Everyone's like, oh god, he dropped it 10 cents again. Now we have to match.
Who knows? It might even just be some bastard who runs his own independent gas station and goes like, oh, 10 cents up today. And then everyone else is like, oh, gas is going up. Got it.
So when you say that they check their competitors, do they physically check? They go around and check?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes they do. Punisher used to drive around on our way into work and check all the gas stations close by.
Although now there's Gas Buddy, so you could probably just go on a Gas Buddy because people just report it, right? Like I was looking right now and there's a bunch of Gas Buddies being reported for like this morning. So
exactly. I'm sure it's a lot easier to do now than it was.
Yeah. Driving around in a hood like a cape. Don't look at me. Just double checking your prices here.
You've been listening to the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have BNS in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.